Hey everybody, this is Doc Mac from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. Today is Tuesday, March 21st, 2017, and we are here doing another podcast covering a lot of the information going on here at the Galloping Ghost Arcade. And we are joined by none other than our former Gamer of the Year, Pete Hahn.
Hello everyone. It is I am back. Like the Terminator. So thanks for joining us again. We've recorded somewhat recently. We recorded almost a little less than 2 weeks ago. We wanted to do another one though to talk about a few topics, and so we don't have such a big backlog like always. But in this podcast, we talk about what happens at the arcade, any new games we get, any cabinets that get upgraded, any high scores or world records that are set here, and the general arcade culture around the arcade. Yep. So that's basically what we do here. Hopefully you enjoy watching to us. Do follow us on all of our social media. Like if you're on Facebook, we have a fan page and we have Galloping Ghost Productions. Try to follow us on Galloping Ghost Productions. That's more interactive and more interactive with us. So we'd appreciate that.
Absolutely. Also on the production page, definitely get ready for a lot more information on Dark Presence, because that's coming up very soon.
Cool.
So, but where do you want to start today?
Let's start with Monday Mystery Games.
Excellent. A couple of very good ones since our last podcast.
Yep. First off, we have Gauntlet 2, and that was on the 13th of March.
Yes, that was a very cool Gauntlet 2, great game. For me, we got the cabinet. It was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Really?
It was a converted from an original Gauntlet.
Oh, no.
And we bought it from Jeremy Fox over at Prince Arcade. So huge shout-outs to him. I saw the cabinet was in nice condition, but it had this converted Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles control panel that was all brown. And we had just recently redone our original Gauntlet cabinet. And as soon as he said that he got it, it was like, oh, that's we got to get Gauntlet 2 on the floor. So the side art is slightly different. On Gauntlet 1, we used the, they call it the five skull version, and then the other one, the short skull version. So for Gauntlet 2, we took all the artwork off, we painted it, we fixed up the cabinet a little bit. Put on new side art, new control panel art, new coin door art, and new marquee art for it. And Seth had to buy a special audio amp to get the sound working properly. And
sounds
yeah.
great.
Yeah, well, it's.
Is it bad that I want to reset the game to hear the intro a lot?
It's.
I haven't done that, but I want to.
Well, it's all right.
Yeah,
it's all right. Definitely a great game.
Yeah.
A lot of people have mentioned that the music to it.
It is. It's definitely really good. I haven't put time into the game. Never really got into any Gauntlets, but I see the appeal. Like, they're a lot of fun when you get a couple people going.
Yeah. And Jeremiah, first time he's jumped out for Monday Mystery Game and taken the top score. He put up 32,000. That's surprising. Like, I would think that James White would be all over it, but
James, I think, even said he played it before.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that Jeremiah won as well.
Yeah.
No one else really got into it, but I also noticed there was a really low world record. When I looked on TG, it was only like 100,000 points.
Yeah.
So I'm sure someone's gonna come and claim that world record pretty soon. It's for the picking.
Yeah. I don't think it'll take too long.
Yep.
So.
Definitely. This week we had Battle Shark released.
Battle Shark, released from Taito. Great cabinet. Ours is also an original dedicated. It's got a really cool setup where the monitor is in the bottom of the cabinet, and you're looking through this giant metal periscope, which is reflecting the screen, and just really cool. I've always really liked the lights on top. They have like these red lights that are in kind of like this submarine style.
They're like caged lights.
Yeah.
They look pretty industrial, like they belong on the ship.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool game. And we picked that up recently in a warehouse raid.
Undisclosed location
again. Mm-hmm. The same location, the same place we've gotten so many of our newer games. Again, the the seller very generous with us, and he's very happy that machines are getting played and out to where people can travel in and enjoy them and stuff. And it's so cool that he's been like that with us, just because it is so cool. I'd seen a lot of Battle Shark. I don't think I'd ever played it before.
Was it ever on any console?
I'm not even sure.
It doesn't seem like it would translate to a console. Well, I guess it could. Like Operation Wolf did.
Sure.
Like that type of vertical movement.
But there's something about this with the whole...
Yeah.
It had the... On the Periscope, the actual joystick part of it kind of has... It's like a Star Wars... Like...
Dual handle.
Dual handle, yeah. So definitely a cool game.
Yep. So I know that you've already put a decent score up, but Jamie Tibbetts walked away with that one yesterday with a little over 1.6 million. Didn't you crush your score, though?
Yeah. It was. I was getting a level 5 last night. It was very interesting. There was so many of the regulars there, but just... And it's
no one was getting into it at that time. Like, everyone was either on Boda games or other stuff, it seemed.
Yeah. And it's definitely unfortunate. Like, we really want to... I know people come in, and so often at the front counter when people are coming in, they'll say, what's new? And that it's nice that there's always the Monday Miss. Oh, that's our newest game. Mm-hmm. But I really hope that, the regulars and the people that are coming out on Mondays are getting into this. Like, we've got the 10X championship belt and everything, and that's still running. Massey's hasn't been around.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Gores has missed several Mondays, so it's like, this could be anybody's.
It's up for grabs, basically. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. So hopefully the stream has been doing well, though.
Yes, we got a lot more people tuning into the stream.
Yeah.
People like to see the unveil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Try to guess what's under that tarp.
Well, we've actually built up a little bit of a back stack of games, so we're got some really, really cool stuff coming up, some really rare stuff, and we're very anxious. Once we get the expansion rolling, oh man, the new games are just going to be pouring out all over the place.
So. They have been. I mean, ever since the expansion in December happened, the new games have been pouring out still.
It's been difficult. There's so many things that I want to play and just put out and see what people think of them. And Battle Shark, again, that was one that I was anxious to see how people were going to react to.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people did just seem distracted by it yesterday.
Yeah.
Just with other stuff that they're in the middle of. And
yep.
So hopefully people will go back to...
Give it a shot.
Yeah, yeah. There's been a lot of stuff that, like, Chimera Beast is still...
It's seen less action than I thought it would.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, by myself, too. Like, I definitely want to get into it. I just haven't really focused on anything lately.
And you're busy playing Bad Dudes and so many other games.
Yep.
But, I hope people really kind of get to all these games.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's some things. We'll talk about them later, that playing them in the arcade is just the way to go.
Right.
Cool. Well, that does it for Monday Mystery. Let's do high scores.
Yes.
Cool. Well,
I've been, as always, so many...
Yeah.
A lot of really impressive scores going up, and where First do we start?
One. Jamie Tibbetts is now a co-world record holder with me on Bad Dudes. We share the maximum score you can reach. He completed the game on one credit last Monday the 13th. So congrats to Jamie for the maximum score, one credit clear.
That is awesome.
Yeah, there's a video we posted. I'll link it in the links to the to this podcast. But check out Jamie's playthrough.
Very cool.
Next up,
yes, the Danielle Robbins put up a new official world record on Flicky with 8,148,870, which.
That's awesome.
Very proud of her for doing that. It didn't take her very long. She literally jumped up close to a million points.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, didn't she just get back into it?
Yeah, she's not been practicing. She's not been. I bought her a cabinet for the house, and she's not been playing on that. She feels that playing in perfect condition, like in the house where there's nobody walking around and there's no other noises and stuff, and it's not, she wants to set the scores at the arcade, so she does all of her practicing there.
She does all practicing at the arcade, or she doesn't even practice at home?
She does not practice at home. Wow. She does no emulation. Mm-hmm. She does nothing even on her own personal cabinet, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think she only came in four or five times.
Yeah, maybe it's just... This happens with me where, like, I'll step away from the game and, like, whatever bad habit I had, I'll break it, and then I'll come back and something else, you know, I'll just get over that hump or whatever that was before. And I see it happen all the time. It's happened to me, and I've seen it in other players, too.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that she was able to come back and beat her own score so quick.
Well, she's still going. She wants to, now the chase is on for, she wants to...
Max it out.
To max it out. So we'll see if she's able to do that. She's over there right now playing, so...
That's awesome.
And the same thing. She's recording, which is very important.
Yep.
You never know when you're going to have that great score.
Yeah.
And it's now mandatory... For Orcade,
for world records,
yeah. That your score be recorded,
Which is a good thing. I think it adds more credibility, and if we're ever questioned, we can always go back and say, "Hey, look, it's here."
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, and some people are a little hesitant. Oh, what if I don't do it this time? And it's like we just delete the file. Right. It's digital space.
Yeah. It's infinite. We can get more memory cards if for some reason we write to them too many times. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
But even that was one of the big things that...
James was playing Zookeeper the other day, and it was really unfortunate what happened to him.
He got an amazing score.
Yeah. Over 2 million.
Yeah.
And there was credits loaded on the machine, either from before or from, you know, James accidentally adding too many, and like... After you game over, if there's credits in there, you enter your... It doesn't give you a chance to enter your initials. It just jumps right to the next screen.
Right.
To the title screen again. And the score is gone.
Right.
So it's the kind of thing where, like, hey, just use the camera. You know, it doesn't really take us more than 30 seconds to set up.
Right. And it is one of those... You'll never know when it's going to be your game.
Yep.
To get that world record. Or everything will just line up and... It's something that hopefully a few people don't need to experience us being like, oh, it's a great score, but...
Do it again on camera.
Do it again on camera.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully everybody will start to recognize that is the new standard, and they have to abide by it. It's part of what is going to grow the credibility to it all, and very important.
Yeah, I think that us being, you know, who we're, you know... Us being part of Orcade now, like, I think we're going to need to be more strict with our players.
Absolutely.
So, like, you know, if you're not even sure if you should record, just err on the side of yes.
Yeah, that was one I was not looking forward to with Danielle. She's like, she at first was like,
I'm not recording.
I don't want to record. I don't know if I'm going
to
get it. And it's like,
you have to.
Yeah, it's just mandatory. It's it's not. It would be awkward. And something for her to be like, well, yeah, I just can't accept that score.
Yeah, how could you say that? You'd have to turn that over to me.
But that's even how it is, though. That's the rules.
I know.
It doesn't matter if it's...
Doesn't matter if it's a regular. Doesn't matter if it's your family member.
Right.
Yeah.
The rules are if there's no video...
Then that's not a world record.
Right.
Yep. So them's the rules. We got to stick to them. But congrats to Danielle.
Yes.
We look forward to the max out happening soon.
Yes.
Next up, we have a new house high in the original Mario Brothers by Michael Seidelman, 237,300. He got that on the 18th.
Congrats.
Which I believe is Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. And also on Saturday was a new Clack score.
Yep. And this was interesting. The person that beat his score, his name is John Aaron. He beat Jamie's score, and he actually saw Jamie's player interview or gamer profile interview on YouTube, and was like, "I took your advice. Jamie's basically like, play the games I'm playing. You know, try to beat my scores. Give me a reason to go back to him." And you know, the guy responded on Jamie's video saying, "You know, hey, I got your Clack score. You know, if you want to go back to it, let's go back and forth." So it was kind of cool to see that.
Yeah, that is really awesome. Mm-hmm. That it's exactly what we want the player profiles to be doing.
Yeah.
And how great is it that something that one of our regulars has said has inspired another player to come in and go after a score and get into the scoring community?
Yeah, that might be John's first score with us, but it was a good one.
No, like absolutely.
Over 1.4 million on Clax, that's really good.
That is.
Yeah.
Congrats to him.
Yep. So this wasn't technically a house high, but I wanted to give a shout out to Jason Latko for his first million point joust game.
Yes.
Last Monday he was here practicing for Battle of the Arcades, and it so happened that we recorded it, so the players are learning from it. But Delonnie McDonald has a house high, of course. He did 10 million here when he was doing his tour.
Right.
But very, very special to get your first million.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know he's been back since then and had already... he's done it twice now.
Yep.
So excellent. Just such a great improvement of skill, and congrats to him.
Yep. Cool. And last, or not last up, we had a new Zaxxon house high. This house high is really impressive. 687,150 on Zaxxon by Joe Durnovich. That was set Sunday, the 19th, so just recently. That's a really nice score for Zaxxon.
Yeah, that is excellent.
Tough game.
Zaxxon, just brutal.
Yes.
Like
it came up on a hardcore belt challenge, and a guy literally lasted about 10 seconds on it.
Oh yeah,
like he got 200, 300 points.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't know what you're doing, you're not gonna last.
No, unforgiving to say the least.
Yep.
And definitely, even if you've played it a lot, like it's a challenging game. Like even if you understand the mechanics of the way it moves and everything, it's just tough.
Yep. Yeah, it's hard. Like, I don't have that depth perception to see where I am. So
yeah.
For me, it would be very tough.
Yeah. Well, congrats to him for doing that. Hopefully, he'll be back, and be great to watch him play some more.
Yeah. Yeah, he usually comes out on Sundays. Like, I usually miss him. So I think the last two Sundays, he's upped his house high.
Yeah.
So maybe we record him next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Lastly, for scores, huge congrats to you and Jamie Tibbetts for your 1cc completion of 2cc. Bad Dudes. Your 2cc completion of Bad Dudes.
Technically, yes. Two credits. Two players.
That's one very awesome. We had to make a new track on Orcade.
Yeah.
And congratulations on that. And I know you guys had gotten close several times.
Yeah, we've been, the last few Mondays we've been playing, most of the time getting to the last level, a couple times to the last boss, and finally it just all came together. We both had nunchucks on the last boss and started pounding on him, and he couldn't get out of it. So
yeah,
it all worked. We both had an extra guy left too, just in case. But the video's on our YouTube for Galloping Ghost, so we'll link that in the show notes too.
Excellent, congratulations.
Yeah, definitely. Me and Jamie are
bad dudes.
Yep. Cool. That's all for high scores.
Cool.
All right. So next up, we've got events and announcements coming up. So let's start off with the one new game added to the floor since last podcast that was not a Monday Mystery game.
That was our Sinistar Upright.
Yes.
Which, that was actually our Master Tech, Seth Young. Huge shout-outs to him. And Doug Fox had found this one.
They found it?
And, yeah. Oh. They were like, this person selling one, do you want it? I was like, yeah, absolutely. But then that created this... a little bit of a personal conflict for me, just because with collecting, I have a lot of rules for how, like, I collect this
and not this.
Mm-hmm. And we have a super rare Sinistar sit down already on the floor, and with the exception of the grid, we don't have anything. And that was a very obvious exception, because that's so
heavily focused on multiplayer.
Right.
You need to have the multiples, yeah.
And, you know, I don't even know why, like, we have so many racing games and we only have one, but just the grid is different, because that was always, and it is with the racing games too, but
yeah.
I'm all right only having one racing game, but mm-hmm. The grid, I definitely wanted six of them. But Sinistar, it was one of those where I didn't know if we were going to get rid of the sit-down one or...
Ooh, I can't see you getting rid of that, though.
Well,
it's and rare.
It's super rare, but it's... I've had so many people be like, oh, you should get Sinistar. And because they don't even know to look for it.
Right. Yeah, they walked right past it and not know it.
Right. And I wanted it in that Williams row so bad. Like, there's so many great games that Williams put out with all the similar cabinet styles. So,
and they do look amazing all next to each other.
They really do. Yeah. They really do. But that was as far as the collection and the collector side of me, it was a little bit of a, well, I have to make this exception.
Yeah, it was an internal dilemma, it sounds
like. Right.
But no, I'm kind of glad you did. Like, I'll probably play it more now that it's in the an upright position.
Yeah.
I have fun with it. I'm not that great at it, but I still like it.
Yeah. Definitely a great game. It's so, when people see it or even hear about it, like, there's all the quotes that people start throwing mm-hmm. out, and just such a cool, iconic game.
Yep. Excellent. All right, let's go on to cabinet upgrades. First up, we had our Super Street Fighter 4 upgraded to Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Yes, that one was...
a much-needed upgrade.
Much needed. It was one that had kind of bothered me for a long time, because it's Street Fighter, you have to have it two-player, and our Super Street Fighter was not.
Right.
We had purchased two Taito Type X2 systems. We had two full setups. I didn't really want to dedicate space to two cabinets.
You couldn't get them to talk to each other? Is that the problem?
Not properly. Okay. It would not show both machines on one screen. It was... you could only see the player you were picking.
Oh.
And you could not... The other side was masked, which was, like, very bizarre.
Yeah.
And we had tried so many different things, and we were talking about putting a small screen so that the player two could see who they were selecting, but just have that be as like a...
Just like, for that.
Yeah, like a little 6-inch monitor that you could just make your player two selection and then...
Then play.
And that never came about, and it was one we never got back to. Then we had... I had purchased... A Taito Type X3 Ultra Street Fighter 4 setup from Japan, and got it here, and we had it all set up. I had the marquee ready, the cabinet was ready to go, and it would try to connect to the Nessica system,
right?
And it would not load past that. So it was, we tried a bunch of stuff, and there's some tutorials online of how to create like
a bypass,
do like a VPN server and bypass all the network stuff, and I could never get that to work properly, so we sold that one off. But then we found somebody that had one that was all original hardware. It didn't connect to the Nessica.
There's two versions of the game, one Nessica and one
there was. And now we
Nessica
have
is the live, it basically is live updating of games, right? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Like for score reporting and all that?
Well, they have, it's actually some of the Nessica systems, it's just the system, and it'll actually hit the server and download the game so that arcades can change games
right
quickly just on the fly.
I know that there's a couple games that we have currently that use the Nessica system that they're not connected to Nessica, like Left 4 Dead and Darius Burst, another Chronicle EX. But those, I guess, don't need to connect to Nessica because we're not connecting those.
Right. They're not as in-depth as Street Fighter was.
Okay. Yeah, Street Fighter makes sense. Like, it all the character data, like how many uses each character is getting, the win-loss ratios and all that, that makes sense to connect and upload that.
Right. But cool. Very, very cool to have that, and that was what inspired that tournament.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Tournament had a decent turnout, I would say. Like it was 7 o'clock on Saturday. We had Jeremiah and Haruza were out. A few regulars were out.
Yeah.
So just wanted to give a shout out to the top placers. Alfredo was the winner of the tournament.
Yep.
And Emilio was in second place.
Yep.
So shout outs to those guys. They got some good prizes.
Yeah.
Hopefully
Emilio got a free day pass and $25 in cash. And then Alfredo got a day pass and $100 in cash.
Nice. You got that fight money.
Yeah. Yeah. There was some really good matches. Mm-hmm. Even though there was, I don't remember the exact number of participants,
11 or 12, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a lot of fun. We have not done a Street Fighter tournament in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
and it definitely was bringing shades of old Saturday nights, mm-hmm. Which was definitely great.
Yep, it's a throwback. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, the other cabinet upgrade, we have upgraded the Bosconian to an original dedicated.
Yes, that was another really good one. Again, huge shout-outs to Jeremy Fox over at Prince Arcades. He, it was one that had been on our list for quite a while, and he just happened across one, and definitely a huge step up from the conversion cabinet that we had, and that's the artwork on it. Is just great. So
cool.
Thanks to Jeremy for getting it to us.
Thanks, Jeremy. All right. So next up, next event we're gonna be at Midwest Gaming Classic.
That is coming up very quickly.
Yep. That's 3 days. It's April 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Yep.
And we will be there. And you're saying, I heard you say Gallop and Ghost Productions will be there in force.
Yes, both Productions and the arcade are we're going making a statement this time.
Yeah, if you haven't been to Midwest Gaming Classic, it has grown a lot in the last years. I missed like 2 years and I went back and the thing had tripled in size. Like it was a lot bigger production than it was before, and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of vendors there, people cosplaying, tournaments, like a lot of stuff going on. Like, even if you're just a casual gamer, you'll enjoy it, but I'd recommend going. It's not too far from Milwaukee. It's like right outside of Milwaukee in Brookfield, Wisconsin. So it's a short drive from the arcade if you're near us.
Yeah.
But I definitely recommend checking it out.
Well, we are definitely... I'm so anxious to be letting people play Dark Presence. We're going to be going and having four playable characters. Trenton, Wilson, Ravana, and Vale will be playable on two different backgrounds. We'll probably have some of the weather effects. We'll be able to show those off in the time of day. It's our first showing since we've switched engines. And huge, huge thanks to all my guys on the production side, especially Will, who's really spearheaded the programming side of it, and Jeremiah, Nick, and Milo, our 3D artist, and Eddie, who's been doing sound, and Phil, and just everybody. And Brandon's been working super hard on new cabinet designs, and we're going to be showing off the Spook cabinet that he's pretty much spearheaded up.
Yep.
Huge shout-outs to Sam as well, who's been working so hard, and Nick, if I haven't said him, and Phil. But I don't want to miss anybody. But yeah, the guys have been working really, really hard since... everybody's just been focused with Dark Presence, which has been so cool, and the game is really fun to play now. It's definitely different than your typical fighting games, just because there's a lot of move sets to learn. The combo system is pretty unique. We've tried to make it where people can get into it easily, but there's it's definitely not really comparable to too many other fighting games. There's no projectiles. There's different left and right sides to the characters. So it's hard to, like, every time we talk about it, people, is it like Street Fighter? It's like, not really, no. Is it like Mortal Kombat? No, not really. We didn't want to just remake those great games. Like, we wanted to innovate and kind of explore new territory and try to take the things that we like. There's obviously things that we love about fighting games, but there's so much more depth, and that's what really arcades used to do. It was not play it safe and just rehash the same game. It was like, I don't want to do the same game that we just released or that we know does well. We want to explore and innovate and work on something that will do something different for the industry. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the big things that I wish the gaming industry would kind of change a little bit, because everything's a sequel.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's so safe and not geared towards the people that really love, like, the established IPs. That's always just kind of just safe.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Hopefully people really enjoy it. We've been working on it for a long time. and we just can't wait to show that.
Excellent. Do you know yet how many arcade machines we'll be bringing, and can you speak about anything?
I don't know how many we're going to bring yet. We're still trying to decide if we're bringing one or two trucks. Usually we bring like 30 to 40 machines. We're going to be bringing a lot of prototype stuff. Primal Rage 2 will be there. Argus, Arena, Beavis and Butthead, that'll be there. So we're going to be taking some really great rare stuff. We'll probably unveil some stuff that isn't on the floor yet.
Okay.
To show out there, just give somebody just something that they want. As much as they get at the arcade, this is going to be a big show.
Cool.
We're bringing some industry celebrities. We're going to have, from Mortal Kombat, Master Daniel Piscina, who played Johnny Cage, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, and Reptile. He'll be there signing autographs, and just always an awesome show when he's around. And same with Dr. Philip Ahn, who played Shang Tsung in MK2. He'll be there. We will have at least two new Mortal Kombat statues unveiled.
Cool. Are they going to be available for sale at the show, or are they just for show?
We might have a few. We'll definitely be taking pre-orders on them. I literally moments ago just got one of them, the first paint prototype of it, which it looks so good.
Can you say who it is, or not yet?
You can decide.
I say yes.
All right. We will be... I'll tell one of at least the two will be Rich DeVizio as Kano from MK1.
Nice.
And really cool. The sculptor did an excellent job, and it's pretty spot on. So anxious to unveil that. If people are interested in it, get in touch with me.
Just email or Facebook?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Also, we're going to be, Brian Cullen will be coming with us. Of Game Refuge, creator of Rampage and Pigskin and Xenophobe, and we will be showing off Spectre Files, and it's very close to being complete.
Oh,
so
nice.
It might be finalized by the show, might not, but it'll be very playable. And it was an unreleased Laserdisc game that was started back in 1984 that we've are finishing up.
But it's definitely not Laserdisc anymore, right?
We've kind of currently no, but we'll see if we press some discs or something.
Oh, cool.
Maybe we will. Probably won't, but...
if anyone else has a Laserdisc player, they might be able to play.
We'll have it on Dexter.
Yeah, there you go.
Jeff Lee will also be with us, creator of Qbert. He also did Argus and Arena. We have a really cool side project that we've been working on with him, so we're anxious to unveil that.
Unnamed so far?
I shouldn't say just yet.
Okay.
Shouldn't say just yet.
All right.
He'll also be bringing Tom Malinowski will be coming with who is the programmer on Argus. And then who else? George Petro might be coming also as another one of our special guests.
Cool. Speaking of Arena, because you just said it,
yes.
Is the documentary aired yet? Has it been?
It has not. The documentary for Arena will be airing on the Red Bull channel on April 10th.
Oh, so that's right after NPC.
Yeah.
All right. That's the day after we get back.
Yes.
It'll be timely. Okay.
That's going to be good. So... I haven't even seen it yet, mm-hmm. and
that's always scary.
Yeah.
You're going to be in something you don't know what it's going to show.
Right. Hopefully,
I am looking forward to it though.
I can't stand seeing myself like.
It's kind of a thing with you. Like, I like try to do these. Like, we do these videos sometimes from the floor, and you're like, "Do you want to see you know how it came out?" You're like, "No, just post it. If I see it, we're going to shoot it again."
It's, I don't know. Some of the stuff they had us doing was just so. They're like, oh, we need footage of you riding your motorcycle. And it's like, for what? So I don't know.
I can do a lot with if someone good at Photoshop, can they take that footage and do whatever they want with it? Have you riding a motorcycle? That'd be kind of
like, well, no. No.
Okay. There it is. You can't do anything. All right. So that anything else for MGC, or is that about it?
We're probably going to be doing a lot of panels. Me and you need to talk a little bit more. I think it'd be awesome if we could do a podcast out there.
Live podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to be bringing the hardcore belt. We're going to have a special hardcore of Midwest Gaming Classic. So definitely want to have a lot of cool things and give people a sample of what they get at the arcade, and just really go in full force. So
cool. All right.
You can still get tickets and stuff.
Yeah.
So make a weekend of it.
Yeah, definitely. There's like, it's in a hotel. You can stay there. Like, the hotel is probably starting to get fully booked. But I'll link the event site in the show notes.
Awesome.
Next up, we've got our Williams Valley Midway Week tournament.
Yes. Very anxious for this 12-game tournament.
Yep. 12 games. Technically, it's 6 days. It's Monday through Saturday.
Yes.
So if you're coming in for more than a couple of days, get the week pass.
Absolutely.
It's a much better value.
Yeah. And this should be a really good one. There's so many.
The variety.
Williams Valley Midway put out so many games.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe we'll throw something new up. I don't know.
Don't know. Will the tournament win again?
People know not to underestimate the tournaments.
That's true. I don't know. What do you think about getting more people to come out to them, like, and people getting into the tournaments? It seems like a thing lately where people either they like the games or they don't, and then they don't want to get into them, or they don't want to give the tournaments a chance. How do you think we can encourage that?
It ultimately, it's like, especially for the regulars, it's up to them if they want to participate in the events. Like, we really hope they do. It's.
I mean, the events are for them. Like, we can.
Right, we could, like.
We could play them ourselves when we want.
Right. It's something that we put, a lot of effort into, and we try to pick stuff that's fun. But if only two people are doing it, it's like.
I think it's the kind of thing where, at least to me, like, I don't know if I'm right in this, but people take a look at the games and are like, oh, I don't think that's fun. I'm not good at that game. It's like, that's. The point of the game isn't. The whole thing is not to win. Like, it's to try games you haven't tried before. It's to hang out with your fellow gamer. It's to pick up, maybe try something you haven't tried before. Maybe you'll get into it. You know, there's a lot of reasons to play these things other than to win. I mean, you can try to win, which that's always fun.
Right. Well, and you look at Monday Mystery. It's like you'd have that win.
Yeah.
Like, if winning is everything, it the last Monday Mystery, anybody could have played that and taking the
win.
What
are you trying to say? Tibbet score was no good?
Well, I did play once, or I played two games before.
I know.
I put it on the floor, but I only played two games after I put it on the floor.
Okay.
But that's a game, it's very easy to memorize, and jumping back to Battle Shark, it's a game that's easy to memorize, and I don't know. I hope somebody 1cc's that, because it's very doable.
Cool.
But
put out a bounty on it. Ooh, that's another thing. We should do with Orcade bounties. That'd be kind of cool.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, it is.
But with this tournament, I hope people come out and really take part in it, because it's like that's. It's been a while since we ran a tournament.
It's been months. It's been since T20.
Really?
That was our last tournament.
Wow. Well, I hope people come out and have fun. I know everybody's getting ready for Battle of the Arcades,
mm-hmm.
which is, we need to talk about that in a minute. But, yeah, I hope everybody's making time for the tournaments, because we have a lot of fun running them, and it's great to see everybody step up and...
Yeah, that's one of the funnest things I do here is trying to brainstorm with you, like, what can we see? Like, it's not about sticking it to the players, it's about, like, what haven't they played that they might enjoy. That's
right.
Something I always think about when choosing tournament games. Like, everyone knows, the standard Williams games, and have probably played them, but what haven't they played?
Right.
and what might they enjoy. So I always think about that.
We try to make it so it's not going to favor one person over the next as well. It's like there's the typical stuff that it's like, oh, well, this is going to be a landslide for this guy. It'll be nothing.
Right. That happens for Monday Mystery from time to time if the person's played the game before. But these week tournaments, I don't really think can favor anyone that way.
Right. And, you know. But we try to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Right.
Which is, it's a fairly even playing field. Yep. So hopefully people...
Maybe some new blood.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to see some of these new... we've been getting a lot of new year members.
Yes.
And hopefully that... they'll come out and take part, because that's what it's all about, is building the arcade community.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You mentioned about all the arcades. Let's talk about that.
Yes. It's coming up quick.
Yeah, it's the end of next month, so we don't have much time.
Yeah. There's been great seeing the guys practicing. James White
was on Zookeeper yesterday.
Yeah.
And Nibbler. Well, and I saw Jamie on Nibbler too.
Jason Latko has been practicing.
Yeah.
We still have to make some decisions on the team, just to make sure that, one, we have enough people, but as well the people that are going to be practicing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to just say, yeah, I'll be there, but the guys that are really into this right now, like, this is for some people, it's more serious than like a standard arcade week tournament. This is like against people across the nation, you know. This is like where everyone's streaming their scores. It's a little bit, I wouldn't say more at stake, just more in the spotlight
for sure,
you know. So that we're gonna have to up our stream game because there's so much to cover.
Absolutely. The tournament will be happening down here at the production offices. So it'll be a nice setup. There's a few people I still want to reach out to and see if we can't get them involved. And it should be a lot of fun. I can't wait till we are streaming so everybody can see what's going on. And again, there's the way the it's set up. It's we only have a select amount of players that we can really have.
I think the minimum is 8, but once you go to more than that, it's detrimental, because then you're keeping the players that have the chance of getting better scores off the machines. If you're just going to let someone else that's not going to make the top 8, if you don't give the player that's making the top 8 the time to up their score, that's detrimental to the team.
Right.
So you can't just have just anyone on the team. It's not that we're trying to, you know, leave people out or anything. It's just we have to be selective.
Right. That's always the last thing that we want to do. Like, we appreciate all of our players, but this one, the strategy does come down to who's involved, just because there are a select number of spots, and while somebody might be the best in the world at one game,
in this tournament, that doesn't matter.
Right.
You have to be well-rounded.
It's all about being well-rounded in all the games, so... But yeah, we're going to be posting more on that, and definitely watch for coverage of it, because it's going to be good against Ken House and Richie Knuckles and
Arcade 2084.
Yes, mm-hmm. So it should be a great showing.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, cool. Well, the final topic I want to talk about, and kind of just talk a little bit about more, but the swap meet, which is coming up in a few days.
Very anxious for this swap meet.
Yeah, I really enjoy doing these. Like, I like seeing everyone come out and people, like, I get, I mean, like, I'm not a garage sale person, but I understand, like, the let's go see what I can find type thing of it, because swap meets are, like, what I would do, you know. If I knew there was going to be video game stuff, I'd go to garage sales all the time, but
yeah,
the swap meets, I think, are one of the best things we do here.
Yeah, they're definitely a lot of fun. It does bring out a good mix of like new people, like that we and people that some of the regulars we don't see as much anymore. They'll definitely make it out because they don't want to miss what's going to be there.
Yeah, it's hard to tell what's going to be there, but you may find something you've been looking for forever. You might be able to sell something that you want to make some money on or trade up. But it's something that I always, I don't know, I enjoy seeing people, like, interact with, you know, the fellow gamers, you know, that type of camaraderie. The one thing though that I kind of wanted to get into is the collecting of the arcade collecting hobby. Because I wouldn't say I'm a big collector, but I understand and I appreciate the value of having an original PCB. Because everyone knows that, you know, I love MAME. I'm a huge supporter of MAME, you know, everything it can do. But sometimes it's just better to have the original thing. I know how you feel, but what do you have to say about about being a PCB purist?
There's misconceptions about my thoughts on MAME. I've heard people I think MAME is a very good thing as far as the preservation. It's been invaluable in helping fix games and having all the ROM sets available, and it has its place. But it's absolutely right. Like the from a collecting standpoint, there's nothing like finding like a rare board. And it's like, how many of these were made? Like with Chimera Beast.
Yeah.
Like, there's a handful of them.
Yeah, I mean, just anyone could just download it in MAME and play it.
Right.
It's not the same though.
It's not. Like there was. It's still an emulator. This to have it all on in the arcade and. There's just something about the collection. And
there's also the whole like this could not the hardware or software might be not emulated properly. There's the whole
that
happens a lot, I think.
Absolutely. Like unless you're like the setting them side by side, there's audio differences, there's play control differences. The hardware that was used on any specific game, like that's how the game was designed.
It was made to run on this hardware, not on your PC.
Right. And you can have stuff that throttle the your processor speed, but you're gonna see little differences side by side.
For sure. And it's totally noticeable on some games. Some games it's harder to spot, but putting them side by side, you'll see them.
Yeah.
My first board I bought was probably 15 years ago. It was for Primal Rage. And for that game, I don't think people know that people play it at home on their, you know, Midway Arcade Classics Volume 2 and MAME or whatever. The game is totally not like that. Like,
right.
You're playing a different game is all I can tell you. Like, if you haven't played the arcade version of the game, it feels so much better. There's choppiness when you land from getting knocked out of the air. There's hit effects. The blood comes out as gray instead of, looks like censorship. It looks wrong. Moves push back too far. Like there's so many small gameplay differences that I've noticed just playing Primal Rage that I had to have a board for it. That's just one example. That's just one game. So there's countless ones out there where like you want the original hardware even just to practice. For example, Street Fighter II Hyper Fighting, this emulation speed is just not correct. It's like they've tried and tried and tried, but they can't get that right. Like it's that game's been how old? You know, it's.
Right.
93.
Well, and it's one of those things that without people look at it and they're like, oh, I'm just going to get a MAME cabinet or whatever. And that's great for some instances. And if you're not wanting to take it to the, like, how it really was. Mm-hmm. Like, most people, when they play it on MAME, just because they haven't really spent time with the game for so long, they...
That's
how it is. And
well, to them, I say ignorance is bliss. No, because it's seriously, like it is totally different, and I think you can do the best of both worlds. Like if you do the MAME thing, you can have a cabinet wired for JAMA and also hook up MAME to that cabinet with a device called a JPAC or IPAC, mm-hmm. two different devices, and that way you can preserve all your original wiring and still use the original PCBs. And if you want to run MAME for other stuff, you can do that without switching the wiring. So I think a great way to go is get a cabinet that has, you know, just a JAMA setup. You can do the MAME thing, you know, at some point, or you can also just run boards in it and swap out boards as you see fit. Some games were pre-JAMA. Now there's people out there making adapters. You know, Seth has custom made me an adapter for my Russian Attack, so I can play that on my JAVA cabinet. But it's all basically converting the right wires to the right wires on the JAMA loom.
Right.
And it's very doable. You know, it's it's a cabinet. People don't understand. It's really easy to get into, and right. That's kind of what I wanted to kind of drive the point home.
The cost on it, like there's some boards that are $20. Yep. Like you can build up, depending on how you're getting into the collecting. If you're just picking specific games that you're
That you like,
or if you just want to just start amassing games. Like there's so many collectors out there that have the aspirations of I'm going to get every game.
That's a pipe dream, I think, but yeah. Oh, that's you with the arcade though.
Well, no, I don't want to. I certainly don't want every game.
Every game?
I don't want
every game.
You
want all those Mahjong games?
No. Okay. No. There was a game I picked up. I hadn't really played it, but it was kind of like maybe, and the cabinet was really good deal, and I was like, I don't want this.
It was
an original dedicated cabinet, so I wouldn't part it out or anything or put a different game in it, but
your thoughts were just I'm gonna leave that for the person that wants this game.
Yeah.
so it stays original.
I know other people that are totally into the game, but again, one of the rules of collecting for me is that it does, if I'm not into the game, it's not going on the arcade floor.
Yep.
And this, there's games out there that, like, if you wired it yourself, and that's one of the other cool things, is that almost kind of goes hand in hand. Like, the more you start collecting, you want to know, like, well, how can I wire this? Mm-hmm. How can I make this work? And I've seen so many people, like, get interested in learning how to solder and do wiring, and once people make that the attempt, it opens up this whole new thing, and most of them really seem to enjoy it.
It's a cool hobby to get into. Like you were saying, some boards are really inexpensive. Like I enjoy Russian Attack, and like I think I paid $40 or $50 for that board. Like I can have the real deal, you know, for $50. That's
right.
That's great.
And the fact that it's not like, so, like you said, you can play multiple boards on a single cabinet.
Yeah. People don't realize that. A lot of people think, oh, I bought this cabinet as a 1942. It has to stay 1942.
Right. Like, the monitors, like everything is pretty much interchangeable. Mm-hmm. And we had, you know, there's an arcade that opened and closed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say the name of the arcade, but they thought that the monitors were game specific.
There's a lot of people that think that.
Yeah, it's just not the case. It's mm-hmm. like you can have a horizontal monitor, vertical monitor, mm-hmm. Like 19-inch, 25-inch, 27-inch.
The only thing that really matters is if you're matching, you know, medium res to medium res, low res, you know,
X, Y, vector.
As long as it's the same type of monitor, you're fine.
And right.
That's nothing. I didn't know any of that starting with this, and you learned it really quick. A really great resource is KLOV.com.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're in the States, that's more focused in the States, but there's UK ones like UK VAC. There's forums for wherever if you want to learn about this stuff, and it makes sense. It's perfectly logical. It's electronics. If you have basic electronics knowledge, you can do any of this. So it's something that I want to see more people get into. And even if you don't have room for a cabinet, sometimes a super gun setup is the way to go.
Yeah, Windy City Games is doing...
Yeah, he'll be here with a super gun.
Yeah.
I don't have a super gun. Sorry, Chris. I have a Jason's Custom super gun because I got it before you started selling his. but he will be selling his super gun at the swap meet. And we can show you how to set up arcade boards. I'll have my super gun with some boards out just to show you how it works.
That's awesome. Like, seeing his setup, it is really nice. But I remember the first time I made, like, even just a test rig. Mm-hmm. It's so inexpensive.
Yep. A power supply, Jamaloom, like a video, something to convert your video, all that stuff is easily less than $100.
Yeah. And then again, the boards, you can find them on eBay. KLOV has the forums on KLOV are excellent for finding stuff.
Don't assume because you see a price on eBay that that's the actual price. Like, if you go to KLOV, like, you'll see what it actually is worth, probably. Like, eBay prices are usually inflated.
Well, and when you're buying and selling, there's so many different ways to look at pricing. Mm-hmm. This is funny with the recordings I've been doing for how to help people open arcades, buying and selling arcade cabinets is a huge thing. And you really have to, like, there's people that think that their games are worth like an outrageous amount of money. Mm-hmm. There is misinformation. There's people that just hope they find somebody that doesn't know that a Donkey Kong cabinet isn't worth $4,000. And we're always happy to help with pricing information and stuff like that. And KLOV definitely is a great resource. But even there, it's like the values are kind of how many of them are there out there? How many other, like, what are other people selling them for?
Right. Sometimes you know how that KLOV has that rating, like it's a this on the rarity scale. Like, sometimes that's not, like, even though it's rare, it might not be super, like, in demand.
Oh, for sure. There's a lot of games that very few people have, but
no one wants
nobody wants them.
Yeah, there's got to be a demand for it.
Right. Like, for example, Guardian that we just picked up. There's, I believe, one on eBay for $600. There's a few people that have them on KLOV. It's definitely rare, but somebody had the cabinet and wanted $100 for it, just because. The demand isn't there for it. Like, people aren't chasing this guy down to because he has one. He's just kind of like, here's this game. It's rare. It's obscure.
Yeah.
Give me $100 so I don't have to look at it anymore.
That's the thing with a lot of people. Like, I got a really good deal on the Life Force board because the guy just didn't want the cab anymore. I'm like, well, if you part it out, sell me the board. So I'm like, and he sold me the board.
Yeah.
And, like, I've seen broken boards go for more than what I paid for this working board.
What'd you pay for?
$500.
That's a great price.
Yeah.
Like, there are games like Nemesis. Like, there are boards that do cost an outrageous amount of money.
And that's actually it's a good and bad thing. Like, if you buy one, chances are you'll sell it for what you paid for, if not more.
But most of the time.
It's got to be, you know, still in demand at that point.
Right. And there's a lot of ebbs and flows of that. Like, there's always people just finding the game. It's kind of funny. Like, we've seen games that we've put out for Monday Mystery. The next day, there'll be people selling that game
on KLOV or
on KLOV or on Facebook, just because the interest level is
the spotlight just got shown on it.
Right.
Yep.
And but how people price games, there's so many different factors that you have to take into consideration.
I know I was looking at some CPS1 stuff, and that stuff has gone up because people are like, I can convert this into Ghouls and Ghosts, and everyone all of a sudden is converting all these Street Fighters to Ghouls and Ghosts, so those have been going up.
Right.
I'm like, maybe I'll hold off until that fad is done.
Right.
Because I've seen that rise.
It does. It's kind of funny. Like, every summer, like, all the Mortal Kombat boards go up in price. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the hard thing to watch for stuff like that. Like, especially if you're just getting into the industry or into the collecting scene, how do you know, like, what games were going for months and months ago? And it's a lot of it comes down to research.
I know you give people any type of advice they ask for if they're ever asking too. So that's you're always a good resource.
And we've got hundreds of boards on hand.
They're going to sell most of them at the swap meet?
A lot of them are for sale. It's like, we've got some rare stuff, and we're happy to part with the stuff to collectors or people who have arcades, and it's better that the stuff be out there getting used. And mm-hmm. it's not, we have all the games that we want on the floor. Like, a lot of the boards that we sell are duplicates or just stuff that we're not interested in putting on the floor, so.
Cool. Yeah, it's kind of a cool hobby. Like, I don't consider myself a super collector. I maybe have 10 boards, but I enjoy it. Like, I didn't think I would, but.
What games do you have now? How many games do you have?
Let's see, I have Tekken 3, Tekken Tag. I have X-Men versus Street Fighter, Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter, Contra, Russian Attack, Shinobi, and maybe one or two more. Oh, I have 1942.
Nice.
And there's got to be one more I have. I forgot what it is. I don't remember. Oh, Primal Rage. The one I mentioned right at the beginning.
Is that still your original board?
That's my original one I bought all those years ago.
That's awesome.
Yep.
As if you could get any board now, like, what are you looking for, other boards?
Not particularly. Like, if there's a good deal to be had, I'll keep an eye on it. Like, there was an E-SWAT that popped up on K-11, and it was a great price. So I sent the guy an offer, you know, I'm like, hey, does he still have it? He's like, oh, just sold 2 minutes ago. I'm like, God damn it.
I see you struggling sometimes because you're at the arcade so often.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I could play that at home, or I could play it here. you know, it's the convenience factor, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it's nice to have the board, and it's if it's a good deal, and I get buyer's remorse a lot, and if I buy a game and I know that I can sell it for at least what I paid for it, then it lessens that remorse. Yeah. That was part of my buying Life Force. I'm like, well, if I'm getting this good of a deal on it, if I end up not using it, or, you know, if I need the money back really bad for some strange reason, I can get what I paid for it at the bare minimum.
How long, when you're playing, does it take you to, like, set up? Like, are you just always ready to go?
For an arcade board?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right now, I have an arcade board hooked up to my Super Gun, which I can just disconnect and reconnect. Like, X-Men versus Street Fighter is on there right now.
So swapping in a board for you takes how long?
Less than a minute. Like, unwrap the board from the plastic and snap on the JAMA harness, and that's it.
That's...
Yeah. It's pretty easy to get into. Like, the way the Super Gun is, it's like it's basically... It's console-ized. It's almost as plugged in play as a Nintendo. You just snap it in and it goes.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, I think it's a worthwhile hobby. I like getting into it. Even though I love MAME, there's some games where it's like, the original. Let's go with the original.
If you could get any two boards,
ooh,
what would you get?
That's a tough one. You know what? There's games where, like, I would say Primal Rage 2 would be one of them. There is a comment.
Not an inexpensive board.
No. But it's interesting. It just became emulatable. Emulatable. Is that a word? It just became available in MAME. Let's go with that. There's a special version of MAME that plays Primal Rage 2, but it just plays better on the original hardware. Like, yeah. It plays fast. I think it plays slightly too fast compared to how it actually plays on the original hardware it's supposed to run on. And a lot of people, you know, are getting into it for the first time now because this is the first time they have access to it, and they assume that's how the game's supposed to run.
Right.
But it's not. It's that's not the original hardware.
Right. It's in, like, you've obviously played both now.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it feels better on a cabinet. Everything to me feels better on a cabinet. Like, I remember playing MK9 back when, before Team GGA, like, everyone would be in the console room and I'd be like, let's play in the cab.
You know? Yeah.
I like the feel of it better.
Yeah.
So I would say Primal Rage 2 would be one of the two boards if I had any board.
But that, like, for Primal Rage 2, that's more of a, it's technically not playing proper.
Right.
So, definitely, like, the original is...
Is the way to go.
Well, if you can.
Yeah.
Like that.
I understand why people don't have Primal Rage 2 boards and they play it at home because there's no other way for them
right.
to play
there's
it.
Right, there's no... Again, that's been a game that everybody has been so excited... We had... there's the couple that hitchhiked from Oregon just to play Primal Rage 2.
That's pretty awesome. The Oregon Trail.
Okay.
Of Rage.
But, that's one that... Like, who wouldn't play it emulated? Even if it's not perfect, like, I think it's great that it is emulated.
Yeah, I think it is. It's exposing the game to an audience that it didn't have before.
Right. And that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. But, yeah, again, if you're... You can't beat the original.
Yeah. Like, definitely. I.
So, Primal Rage 2.
That's one.
And?
I don't know. There's a couple I can think of. There, it might be Nemesis.
Really?
Yeah.
That is also an expensive board.
I know. The Life Force board I picked up can be converted to a Nemesis. They run on the same platform.
Yes.
So I might have to look into that.
Well, I do have an extra Nemesis board.
Really?
I do.
Oh, very timely. It's
just having a sound issue fixed on it.
Okay.
But there's... How are those... How is Nemesis is on an emulator?
It's fine. Like, it the newest versions of MAME screwed up a little bit of the sounds. Like, the sounds were better in old versions of MAME. They made some adjustments on the sound effects, and I don't know if they mess up the samples or whatever, but that's one where I might consider having a board for score runs and stuff.
Yeah. Cool.
I could do the score runs here, but, you know, convenience.
Sure.
Yeah, probably those two.
That's awesome. It's and as far as like storage, like it's, has that ever been an issue? Does it take up a lot of space for you to store your boards?
Not really. You know, I use post office priority boxes. Like, I just go in there, like I'm gonna ship something, and I take a few boxes. Sorry, USPS, if you're listening. Yeah, the postal boxes make really good PCB boxes. Yeah. That's what we use here, actually.
Yeah.
But they fit almost every PCB pretty well, and you just wrap them up in put packing bubbles if you can, like the, what's it called? The bubble wrap. Yeah. And put it in there, and then it's good to go. Like, I mean, the space it's taken up is not a lot. Like, it's a couple shelves in a closet.
Yeah.
But it's nothing big.
That's cool.
Nothing like my console games and everything else.
Well, hopefully people will...
Yeah, it's so easy to get into. I really hope people will come out and give it a shot.
Yeah. And like I said, we will have a lot of boards for sale at the swap meet. And we have them for sale all the time. There's boards that you can get on eBay, KLOV. There's a ton of different Facebook collecting groups. Mm-hmm. So hit those up, and definitely might, if people are interested, you can contact me direct, or you, or if the boards are looking for.
Yeah, there's, I gotta remember, there's a couple good ones. Tim Foley knows those good Facebook groups. He added me to one recently.
Yeah.
There's all those Facebook collecting groups, but those are good to get into. You can interact in real time.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Cool. That's all I have for today.
All right, cool. We will wrap it up today, I guess. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We're going to, again, hope to see everybody out at Midwest Gaming Classic and Swap Meet.
Yep.
And out for Williams Valley Midway Week and Monday Mystery Game and the Hardcore Championship. Man.
Everything.
Yeah, there's so many things.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, everybody. I'm Doc Mack from Galloping Ghost Arcade, and thanks to Pete Hahn.
Yep.
So we hope to see you around the arcade soon. Thanks a lot, everybody.
See y'all later.
Thanks.